Father God, Lord, we just ask you to bless this man on today, God. This is your servant, God, who's just standing here today to give your word, God. Lord, we just ask you right now to touch him and anoint him, God, that he may freely do your will, God. Oh, God, we just ask you to open up the hearts and the minds of everybody in this service today, God, that they may receive these seeds, God, and not have their hearts hardened, God. But somebody might leave out this building today, and their hearts and mind might be changed, God, and may be able to say, yes, God, I trust in you, God. I believe in you on today, God, because of what they heard from you, God. God, we thank you on today, God. We just ask you to renew minds and touch someone, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jay. Thank you. Appreciate it. You take it. Good morning. It's good to see everybody today on this national holiday of the NFL starting to kick off. But here we're about Jesus. We're about Jesus today. And I want to, it's great to be over here with everybody. And we just started up two services again. We had our 9 o'clock service. You guys are here at the 11 o'clock service. And while we started this, back to these two services, we're actually starting a new series, a new sermon series. It's going to last for about 6 weeks, and it's entitled Relating. And so it's essentially the whole focus of this series is learning how to be people who can connect with other people in a world that's so divided. Learning how to be able to relate to other people and be in relationship with other people. And we're going to look at how we can connect the gospel with the most important relationships in our lives. So, I mean, that's every relationship you can think of, really. Because it's family, it's parents, it's spouses, it's co-workers, it's extended relatives, it's close relatives. It's people within the church as well. People outside of the church, your regular neighbors. And so that's what we're going to kind of be talking about over the next 6 weeks. But this morning, we are going to look at how it all starts. And the title of the message this morning is that it starts with me. Or if you want to apply that to yourself, you can all say, it starts with me. That's the title of this message. It starts with you and me. Essentially, the quality of every relationship you have begins with you. It begins with you. Now, we all know that relationships are hard, right? They're complex. I mean, if we're all honest with ourselves, there's some relationships in our lives that would be so much better if we didn't have them. You know what I mean? Good. There are other people in here the same way. Good. No, relationships are hard. They're very difficult. They're hard to manage. They're hard to improve. It's really difficult. Being in relationship with people can be very difficult. And I think we could all be in agreement that a life without some of the relationships in our lives would be a much simpler life. Anybody else? I got an amen out of that. But at the same time, they would be much emptier lives. They would be much emptier lives. You see, relationships, they can be fulfilling. They can be exciting. They can be something worthwhile and meaningful. But at the same time, there are relationships that we have that can end up being disappointing, discouraging, and hurtful. But as followers of Christ, we have to learn how to be in relationships. We have to learn how to relate and to connect with people, because relating with other people exists at the very core of who we are as people. Everyone in here, you are a relational person, whether you know it or not. It may not seem like it on the outside all the time, but within each person, there is this desire, this ingrown inherent desire to connect with someone, to be in relationship, to connect at a deeper level with somebody else. You see, we were created for relationship. We were created to relate to one another and to God. And from the very beginning, God intended for us to be in relation, first with him and then with the others around us. See, God is a relational God. We see it in his existence as a triune God, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He relates in that way. There's a perfect relationship among the three as one. And so God creates mankind. We see in Genesis chapter 1 that God created mankind, and he created us in his image. The Bible says in Genesis 1, right? Right from the beginning, God created us in his likeness. Okay, so he created us in his image. So therefore, God created us in his image as a relational being. Because God is a relational. And so our design was not to be one from the very beginning, to be isolated individuals, but individuals who lived in community and relationship with one another. This is what we were created. We are this creation. And so this was the beginning. When God created man, was the beginning of what I'm going to call a vertical relationship. I understand that God is everywhere, but just for the sake of illustration, God creates this vertical relationship. God and man. God and man. A vertical relationship. Fast forward one more chapter through Genesis chapter 2. We see that God says, the Bible tells us that it wasn't good for man to be alone. So what did God do? He creates a helper for him. And so immediately we see in the first two chapters of the Bible is God creates man for relationship. We begin this vertical relationship starts off, and then immediately he gives us a horizontal relationship. A vertical relationship, and this is the beginning of a vertical relationship. We were created to need and desire relationship. Now when I talk about relationships, I'm talking, this is the way I envision a relationship. A relationship is when you extend yourself, shake my hand, Mike, thanks man, is when you extend yourself, reach out and give yourself to somebody else in relationship. In a sense, you connect with that person, okay? Kind of like that picture up there. It's a connection. It's extending yourself and sharing it with another person. Now, I know that we can all say that the struggle in relationships is when the person does not relate back in the same way that you are giving off, right? We can't control how other people relate back to us. It would be great, right, if we could do that. But we cannot. We cannot control how someone receives our relationship and us extending ourselves to other people. But we are, however, responsible for how we relate to other people. We are responsible for how we relate to each other and how we treat each other. We're not responsible for their acceptance of it. We're not responsible for their reciprocation of that relationship. But we are held responsible for our part. We're responsible for our end of the relationship, and that in every relationship we have, God would be glorified. So this morning, we're going to focus primarily on our end of the relationship. Our end of relationship. You see, because the quality of every relationship, every horizontal relationship, starts with you. The quality of every single relationship you have, whether it's with a coworker, whether it's your spouse, whether it's with your children, the quality of that starts with you. Notice I didn't say it's determined by you. I said it starts with you. In other words, you are responsible for what you are putting off. You are responsible for how you are relating to somebody else. And so the question we want to answer today is, how can we relate to best to people in our lives? How can we ensure that our end of the relationship is putting off something of quality? You see, because if you engage in relationships according to the Word of God, then you're going to be extending the highest of quality. You really will. So how do we ensure our end of the relationship is God-honoring? And the answer to that question is that as followers of Christ, our relationship with other people, our horizontal relationships, must be a byproduct of our relationship with God. How we relate to other people, how we communicate to other people, how we relate to other people has to be an outworking or an extension of our relationship with God. And may I be so bold as to say that how you're relating with other people could reflect on your relationship with the Lord. You know, we can just examine our relationships, and there's always areas in which we can improve. And so those areas, you can use that as a gauge. Lord, how's my relationship with you in this area? So our horizontal relationships have to be an outworking of our vertical relationship. So this morning we're going to look at or examine our relationship with God, because the outflow of it is where we learn how to effectively relate to others. So how do we relate to this God? How do we relate to God, and how does he relate to us? Well, the Bible shows us that we relate to him in three ways. First, as our Lord, our Father, and our friend. This is how we relate to God, as our Lord, our Father, and our friend. The first one I want to look at is that we're going to look at how we relate to him as our Lord. In Psalms 24:1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and the world and all who live in it." In Psalm 103:19, it says, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all." All right, so we see here that God is as our Lord, where he rules and reigns over all creation. And so we have this relationship with him is one out of reverence, one out of awe, one out of a holy fear for him, understanding that his grandeur and his majesty and his power, and he's so much bigger than you and I, that we're just left in awe. He's a Lord who rules and reigns sovereignly over all of creation. And our position before Him is one of humility and reverence. And this is where we bow our knee before Him and say, God, You are the Lord over all. You are my Lord. And so we're to relate to Him as our Lord, as ruler and almighty ruler of heaven and earth who rules sovereignly. But even in His position of sovereignty, He chooses to reveal Himself in such a personal way. He longs to be in relationship with His people. So my question to you this morning is, how is your relationship with God as your Lord? How is your relationship with God as your Lord? Is He truly the Lord of your life? Does He sit on the throne of your life where He has a say in everything? I think we can all be honest with ourselves if we reflect on ourselves right now that there's areas in all of our lives in which we still want to be the Lord over that area. It's like, God, You can have all of this and You can lord over everything else, but this area, I'm going to keep that to myself. I want to be the Lord there because I'm good with it, right? But that's not how it's supposed to be. He is to be the Lord of our lives in every area. So how is your relationship with God as your Lord? And secondly, we relate to Him as our Father. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 says, in love, we were predetermined to be adopted as His children through Christ Jesus in accordance with His will. 1 John 3, 1 says, how great is the love of the Father that He has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. So how do we relate to God as our Father? If we are children who have been adopted into His family, how are we to relate to Him? Well, the Bible indicates that this relationship is also one of authority, in which the God of our as our Father gives us instructions on how to be children living in His household. Amen. He is a Father who has set the guidelines of His household, and His children are expected to respond obediently. And as you grow and you learn His ways. You see, we cannot expect that now that we're saved, just to act any way that we want. We can't expect to just think that we can get away with however thing we want because without there being some sort of consequences. But the Bible says that you've been adopted into His household, into His family, so now He's got a set of guidelines, He's got His rules that we're to respond and obey to. Because He is our Father. But there's times when we're all guilty of this, aren't we? Where we're just like the Israelites, we'll joyfully receive all the blessings in our lives of God, but only when we're in most need of it. And then we try to take advantage of God. We try to take advantage of God. And sometimes we're aware of it, and sometimes, honestly, we're not aware of it. And so there's this relationship with God as our Father, as one who protects, the Bible says. One who provides for our needs. The one who gives correction. The Bible says that God disciplines those He loves. He brings correction. And if we get off the right wrong path, He'll bring us back onto the right path. And its relationship with God as our Father, He has set up a code of conduct for His people and for His children, and we're to be responsible for. So here is this God who loves immensely His children so much. He loves them so much that He will ensure that they grow up, not to be like everybody else, but to grow up to be the people that He created them to be. And to ensure that they grow up in the way that He sees best for them. So how is your relationship with God as your Father? Do you allow your own earthly experience with your Father and the relationship that you had with them, whether it was good, whether it was bad, do you use that as a filter for who you think God is to you and your relationship with Him as your Father? If that's so, I encourage you to remove that filter and to discover who God is as your Father for yourself. You know, when I was growing up, most of you know my story that my dad left when I was 3 months old and left my mom with 3 kids to raise on her own. And everyone asked me, do you have any animosity towards your dad? From the beginning, I was blessed that my mom never said anything bad about my dad, so that helped as well. But I never had any animosity, and it's not because I'm all this, you know, some perfect person, but I just never had a dad, so I never knew what it was like to be without a dad, right? So I never had one. But it wasn't until I got to be a teenager and a young man that I saw an absolute need for a father. Because in my life, this is me personally, I was completely directionless. I was all over the place, right? And I needed that direction. I needed that guidance. I needed that correction when I was wrong to go on the right path. And so I'm so grateful for that God has been my father from the very beginning. He has been the one who has guided my life, who has been there and had directed my life into the path that he chose for me. So how is your relationship with God as your father? And finally, how do we relate to God as our friend? How do we relate to God as our friend? Romans 5, 10, and 11 says that now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Amen. John 15, 15 says, I no longer call you servants. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business, but instead I've called you friends. For everything that I've learned from the Father, I've made known to you. Now I want you to think for a second about what are some of the characteristics of a friendship. First one that comes to my mind is trustworthy. A friend is trustworthy, right? A friend is someone who's going to be reliable, someone who is loyal, someone who's going to stick by you through the thick of it all. And when stuff hits the fan, they're going to be there to encourage you and to lift you up and to build you up. A friend is going to be someone who's compassionate, someone who you can go to with your hurts, your frustrations, your insecurities. A friend is someone you can be yourself with, someone that you don't have to put on a facade and some fake thing, but you can be completely open and vulnerable before them. Someone who will walk with you through the hardest times of life. This is God as your friend. This is God as your friend. So how is your relationship with God as a friend? Are you open with him? Are you honest with him? Are you able to share the deepest, darkest moments of your life with him? Are you able to be vulnerable before him? He is the most trustworthy, the most reliable person you will ever have a relationship with. And the beautiful thing is that this friend of ours, he doesn't condemn you for the things you do, but he encourages you. And he helps you through the struggles in life. He is our Lord, our Father, and our friend. This is how we relate to God. And I want you to understand that you can't have one without the other. I want to encourage you to have and to build a relationship with God in all three of these contexts. As Lord, as Father, and as friend. Now I want you to just notice for a second the posture and the position of God in these things. As Lord, he is this ruler over everything in the universe. He's massive. He's huge. He extends so much farther and has a plan so much bigger than our minds can even wrap our head around. He's omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere all at the same time. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. That's his Lord. As a father, he's the one. When I imagine a father and a child, I imagine someone that I'm looking up to. I look up to most of you, but I'm one as a child. As a child looks up to his father, it's someone that you look up to, isn't it? It's someone that you want to be like. It's someone that you admire and that you strive to please because he loves you so much. And as a friend, he's our closest confidant, the one who's never going to turn his back on you, the one you can share your most intimate details of life with. And it is so, so important, guys, that you have and build a relationship with God in all three of these contexts. As Lord, as Father, and friend. You can't have one without the other. Because if God is to you, if you only have a relationship with God as your friend, then you miss out on the reverence and the awe and the authority that he has. And if he's only your Lord and somebody who's so far removed from you and he's like this God who's way out there, you miss out on the closeness of this God. But this entire story is about a God who creates people and then continuously reveals himself as a God who wants to be in relationship with his creation. He wants to be close. He wants to be as close can personally get. So we have to have a relationship with God in all three of these ways. As Lord, as Father, and as friend. And so if we're going to be the people that God has commissioned us to be, right, people who have been planted in this place, in this world, in this geographical location, and you have the friends you have and the families that you have and you live where you live, God has planted you there for a purpose, and that is to live relationally with other people, to live relationally with them. And again, the quality of your relationship with these horizontal relationships has to be an outworking, an outflowing of your relationship with God. We cannot expect to have a quality relationship with people in the right way, the way we're supposed to, unless this relationship is thriving. And so if you're here today and you don't know God very well, or if this concept of having a relationship with God is new to you, and you'd like to know more, please, I'd love to talk with you afterwards. I'd love to talk with you. Come and see me after the service, and I'd be happy to share more about this. But I also encourage you to read this. This is a revelation of who God is, His heart. It's His nature, His character. It's His purposes, His plans. And I encourage you also to get plugged into a life group here in the church. This is life groups that we have in our midweek little smaller gatherings and smaller context settings where people grow in relationship. You build in relationship with each other and your relationships with God. Now, so as we bring this morning to a close, we're actually going to celebrate relationships. We're going to celebrate some relationships, some brand new relationships. Amen? Amen. So why don't you all, I'm going to invite now the Palandros and the Figueroas up to the stage. And if you guys would all just give them a nice warm welcome as they prepare to come on up here. Josh. They take off? Did your wife take off? Oh, yeah, she's outside? Awesome. Come on up here, guys. Why don't you come on up here? Let everybody see these beautiful children. Oh, has he passed out? Look at this face. Mwah. Look at this. This is Jonathan Angel Luis Figueroa. Mom and Dad is his Angel and Samantha. And coming up to the stage now is Leo Anthony Palandro. Mommy Lisa, Daddy Anthony, and Big Brother Luca. Good looking families, aren't they? Man, I'm in awe. You know, I didn't realize this, but all three of us named our children, used our first names as our kids' middle name. I don't know what that is. That's pretty cool. I don't know. I think it's cool. Well, here he is. Here's Leo. What's up, man? Say hi to everybody. This is your time right now, big man. Well, today we're dedicating these children. The parents are dedicating their children to the Lord. It's a ceremony that you can find in the Bible, and it's in the Old Testament. They practiced it. And actually, Jesus was dedicated as a child in the temple. His parents brought him to the temple. And the purpose of this dedication is really, it's a ceremony before God and before witnesses. It's kind of like a marriage and a wedding ceremony, where you're dedicating yourself and you're committing to God that you are going to submit this child, these children, into the ways of God, and that you're going to do everything that you guys can possibly do to make sure that he grows up and having an example of the Lord in your household. Look at me, he's so cute. I'm in awe of God. I mean, when you look at these things. I'm just in awe. Look at God's creation, man. He's so good at what he does, isn't he? He's so good at what he does. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 7 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and your strength. And commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today." And he says, "Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up." And so this is kind of God's call to parents, is to commit yourselves and to promise to the Lord before this congregation and before God himself that you're going to do everything you can to raise a child in a godly way, both prayerfully and practically, right? Practically. And so there's responsibilities on behalf of the parents, obviously, like you need any more responsibilities as a parent. But when you're doing this, you're saying, "God, I'm committing to teaching these children about you. I'm committing to teaching them about you. I'm committing to demonstrating practically in my household what it means to live in a godly way. So that these kids, when they grow up, can see what it means to love. You know, what unconditional love looks like in your marriages. And what it means to be gracious and to love them and disciplining them and correcting them. You're committing to disciplining them. And according to God's ways." Amen? Because kids need discipline. Yes? Sometimes you get a land, sometimes you get a boom, you know, smack. Okay, all right. We all know that kids need correction, don't they? Amen. We all need it. And you're committing today to praying earnestly for these child. And you're partnering with God. And that's the biggest thing, is that you're partnering with God for raising these boys. That you're saying, God, I'm committing everything that I have, all my resources that I have, and everything that you've given me and all my talents. And Lord, I'm partnering with you, and we need your help to raise these children the way that you want us to raise these children. Amen. And so I want to just, if you guys can just bring the little kids in, let's bring them in closer together. I'm just going to pray with you guys. You guys face that way. You guys face, let them look at that kid, those kids. Look at this. Aren't they adorable? Aren't they? Yeah, give them a hand. These. Amen. Well, I'm just going to pray for them, and we're going to just use that as a close to the sermon, I mean to the service. And after we're done with them, just give them a nice warm welcome back. But right now, we're just going to pray for these kids. And if you want to just reach out your hands in agreement with us on this, this is a special time. And so, Lord God, I want to thank you. I just thank you so much for these kids. I'm in awe of your handiwork, your craftsmanship. And Lord God, you created each one of these little boys to know you, and to know you in such a powerful way. And so, God, I pray that you begin to reveal yourself to them, even at this young age, through the love of their parents, through the love of their family members. And Lord God, that they would grow up to love you with all of their heart, with all of their soul, and with all of their strength, Lord God. Begin to fashion them in such an amazing way to serve you with all that's in their heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 And so one of the other things that this is about is it's calling you guys into partnership with them. I mean, this is the beautiful thing about this church, when we talk about being partners together. But this is partnership as well. You see, they were not, being in a church family, you guys are not forced to raise this child on your own. And you guys are not forced to raise this child on your own. But this group of people here are saying, and you're committing, right? You're committing right now to saying that we are going to be here for you in the raising of these children. That when you need help, there's your help. We're family. We love each other. I am so grateful for the input and the influence that so many of you have had into my kids' life. And so I know that they're going to do the same. I can say honestly that this is an amazing group of people who will love you guys on your journey to raising these kids. Because it's not easy, is it? It's not easy. Amen. Why don't you guys give them a nice warm... Amen. Yeah. Well, we're going to end the service for today. I want to just let you know that there's cafe refreshments on the far right-hand side. Jay, if you would just turn up some music. God bless you guys. Please say hi to these parents. Let them know, squish some cheeks. This is your chance to get some cheek squishing in, but be gentle. Nah, don't. Well, God bless you guys. We love you, and we'll see you next week.